Pray about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to begin with to look in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All of Psalm 1. Then looking further in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. All of Psalm 19. And then finally, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of Psalm 23. Thank you once again, Father, for your word and the power that rests in and upon your word. Thank you for the counsel, the grace, the strength, the encouragement, the empowerment that is found inside your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that your word is pregnant with the ability to bless us. It's pregnant with the ability to strengthen and encourage us and to stir up our joy. In fact, it's full of joy. Thank you for your word and the gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity and the blessing of being able to come to you in prayer any time of the day, 24 hours a day, knowing that you always, always, always have a listening ear for the prayers of your children. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that there's so much blessing in spending time one-on-one with your word every day. More and more, Lord, open our eyes to see what a gift it is, what a blessing it is, what a means of encouragement, and how it just anoints our life afresh as we spend time one-on-one with you and your word. Help us to be wise enough to make this the high priority of our day, listening to you and communing with you. We thank you and we praise you every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, love, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd move today through this broadcast. Father, you're so good. You're such a good teacher, and all of this is yours. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that we've got nothing except for what you've given us, Father. So thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to be stewards with everything that is yours. Father, I ask that you'd bring eternal life today, that people would get saved today, and that people would get to know you. And Father, I ask that for the rest of us that already know you, that you'd grow us in maturity in recognizing you, recognizing your voice, and reading scripture and walking with you every day. Thank you, Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do have in mind to share some articles that are found on the AFA stand that we've had the privilege of writing. And remember, our goal is to share them, and we encourage you to email us to get every single one that we share for you to use as a tool for your own spiritual growth, but also as a tool to help disciple your own family, but then finally also as a tool to pass on, to forward to others. Email it on to family, friends, fellow church members, co-workers, any and all that you are led of the Lord to share them with. That's a part of what they're for. So please get them to use for you and your family, but to share far and wide with others. And of course, obviously, you're welcome to make hard copies of them as well, and share hard copies too. We hope that you will do just that. Today, we're looking at the topic, What If God Wrote a Book? And I'll be sharing an article by that same title, and hope that you will email us to get a copy of the article. But also, we'll be looking at the secondary topic, Rev Riding in the Hood. We're going to be talking about our stage play, the stage play that I had the privilege of writing, and that we actually are scheduled to perform on the campus along in cooperation with the drama department at Blue Mountain Christian University. The dates for the performances are February 28th, February 29th, and March 1st. On February 28th, the production time is 2:30 in the afternoon. And then February 29th, it will be 6:30 that evening. And on March 1st, it will be 6:30 that evening, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. We're inviting and encouraging every single listener, please pray for the balance of all the rehearsals that will take place, and pray for each of the productions, each performance that will take place as well. We're asking you to pray for the Lord to mightily anoint each one and to do a mighty work in the heart of every attendee. Again, as I mentioned before, we have fun with the play and we've enjoyed getting a chance to use it as a ministry tool. But at the same time, it's serious ministry. Now, the play is a comedy drama. Might not make a lot of sense to you unless you watch it. So, but I hope that you will get a chance to see it in some capacity in the future. But if you can come, we certainly hope that you will. Blue Mountain Christian University is in Blue Mountain, Mississippi. And we hope that you can come. But if not, if you can send your prayers, because it's a Holy Spirit event. It's a Holy Spirit impact event. And so one of the reasons that happens is because we encourage and invite God's people to pray for the Lord to use every, again, rehearsal as well as every performance. So we're believing God to do a powerful work, a mighty work in the heart of every attendee. Now, let me say to our listeners, if you're someone who's thinking to yourself, well, I just really don't foresee I'll get down there for next week or anytime soon, please, again, pray for the productions. But if you'd like to get a DVD copy of the play, let me just mention this. Let me share this so that you know as well. A part of our goal here is that we're planning to resurrect it as a tool, as a fundraising tool to help us raised funds for the work and the ministry of the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. If you'd like to help us in that endeavor, I'd like to invite you to write me my mailing address. I'm going to share it briefly. Pastor Joseph Parker, 2988 Old Belden Circle, Belden, Mississippi, 38826. If you'd like to write me and would like to get a copy, a DVD copy of the play, simply email me and let us know, contact us. And we're asking for a suggested donation of $12, which would cover shipping as well. A suggested donation of $12. Email us, or contact us, and we would be glad to send you a DVD copy. Again, a suggested donation of $12 to get a DVD copy of the play. We'd be glad to get it to you. And I think you'll enjoy it. But at the same time, remember, it's a tool. It covers the Ten Commandments and also has a very clear and upfront pro-life message as well, a message about the need to stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Again, it's a fun play, but at the same time, a serious ministry tool, a serious ministry instrument in the hands of the Holy Spirit. So if you'll be praying with us, we would really, really appreciate that. Let me share with you this too. One of the clear messages of the play is that every believer needs to be a serious student of God's Word. I don't think I can overemphasize how important it is in the kingdom of God that every believer be a serious and dedicated student of God's Word. You know, I often talk about the importance of reading the Word of God every day, and I pretty regularly, if you listen regularly, you know, we often will challenge and encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every single day. Why is that? Why do we deal with that so much? Well, the reality is this. I don't believe any believer, any person outside of Jesus himself fully understands how much of a blessing, how beneficial, how much it enhances your life when you're a diligent student of God's Word. Remember, the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when you're reading and meditating on the Word of God, you're spending time with Jesus, and he's pouring grace and peace and power and joy and encouragement and so much more into your heart, your mind, your life. Money could never buy that. So when a believer is wise enough by the grace of God to become a faithful and diligent student of God's Word, they are rewarding themselves. They are literally rewarding themselves. I like to remind believers of a powerful truth that's shared in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 1. It's a short verse, a simple verse, but it powerfully makes the point. Again, Genesis chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward.'" Let me read that one more time again. Genesis 15, 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward.'" God is a reward to us. When you open the Word of God and spend time with the Lord, you are rewarding yourself every single day. And so 3 chapters is a minimal amount. If you decide that 3 chapters a day is not enough for you, wonderful. Spend more time in the Word, because the fact is the Word of God is food for your spirit. It's medicine to your mind, body, and spirit. It's grace, it's joy, it's peace, it's power. Again, money could never buy all the ways our lives are blessed and enhanced by spending time one-on-one with the Lord in the Word of God. And remember this, Jesus will spend as much time with you as you'll spend with him in the Word of God. If you spend 5 minutes with the Word, he'll spend that time with you. If you spend 30 minutes in the Word of God, Jesus will spend that 30 minutes with you. If you'll spend an hour in the Word of God or 2 hours in the Word of God, do you know Jesus, though he's the CEO of the universe and very busy, he'll spend that full 2 hours with you. If you say, well, how can he do that? He's dealing with all these other people. Remember, he's God and we're not. God can give more attention to 1 million people at once than you or I can give to 1 single person. He's God. Lord, thank you for your word. Anoint us afresh with the grace that empowers and encourages us to be diligent students of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We'll be right back.
You're calling me over. You're pulling me close. With love you surround me. You give me hope. Yeah, yeah.
Music of Lincoln Brewster with Made New. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, What If God Wrote a Book? And of course, we'll be sharing in a few moments an article by that same title, and we're encouraging you to email us to get a copy of the article. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. But we're also talking about the message and the mission behind our play about that covers the Ten Commandments. The play, again, is entitled Rev Riding in the Hood, and I had the privilege of writing it back in 2007, was led of the Lord to write it, and by the grace of God brought together a drama group, and we traveled and performed it, ended up doing over 32 live performances, and so we were grateful for that opportunity over a period of a few years. Well, again, in recent months, we're very grateful that Blue Mountain Christian University was in touch and decided they wanted to put the play on their campus. And so in collaboration with us, we're doing just that, and we're excited about it. Again, three scheduled performances are scheduled to be performed on the 28th at 2:30 in the afternoon at Blue Mountain Christian University, on the 29th at 6:30 in the evening, and on March 1st at 6:30 in the evening. That's a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. So again, if you can come, we hope that you will come to Blue Mountain College and see our play. Again, the title, Rev Riding in the Hood. Again, it covers the Ten Commandments, but one of the key messages and goals behind the play is the importance of being a student of God's Word, being a believer that reads the Word of God every day. And through the play, and of course through the broadcast as well, we pretty regularly are encouraging believers, start the habit of reading at least three chapters in your Bible every single day. It's an important habit for adults. It's an important habit for children and youth as well. So we're encouraging that for every single believer. We want to invite you to look with us in the Word of God. In the Gospel of John, John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Verses 1 through 14, John chapter 15. Then sharing from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 12, it tells us these words. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Again, verses 1 through 12. Hebrews chapter 11. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. We're going to take time now to share the article by that title, What If God Wrote a Book? Now, before we do, I want to go over real briefly with you some list we've shared before, 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word. Again, 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word daily. Number one, the first reason as to why we're wise to read the Word daily. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. Read John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Then number two, a second reason to read the Word daily, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105, 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 17. A third reason to read the Word daily, it empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Four, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. A fifth reason to read the Word daily, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. Number six, it helps you maintain your mental health. See Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. The seventh reason to read the Word daily, it increases God's anointing on every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians 1:5. Number eight, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life. See Proverbs 1 through 3. Number nine, reading the Word daily enhances your intellect and your personality. See 1 Corinthians 1:5. And a tenth reason as to why we're wise to read the Word of God daily, it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, and Galatians 5, 22. Here's the article again by the title, What If God Wrote a Book? What if God wrote a book? What would he say? What would he tell us about himself? What would he want to share with the world? What would he say about life? Would he explain all the greatest mysteries of life and of the universe? Would he try to answer all of our questions? Would he try to answer any of our questions? If God wrote a book, would you read it? Would you make it a top priority to find out what the creator of the universe had to say to us? Would you decide that the creator of all men and women on earth must have something important to communicate to his creation? Or would you say, I have no interest in what he has to say. I like this or that author or his or her writing, but I'm not into religion. Well, God did write a book. We call it the Bible. We call it the written word of God. The Bible is a top-selling book. It is, in fact, the best-selling book in the whole world. It is, in fact, the best-selling book of all time. According to the Guinness World Book of Records, as of 1995, the Bible is the best-selling nonfiction book of all time, with an estimated 5 billion copies sold and distributed. That's quite an impressive record. For some who still question the accuracy and inerrancy of the Bible, and who might wonder why the Guinness World Records could put it in the nonfiction category, we suggest visiting thegodwhospeaks.org, where you can find more information about the whole reality of a real examination of the precious and powerful Word of God. God used around 40 or so human secretaries to write the Bible, the written Word of God, and it is, in fact, one story. The Word of God, the Bible, is one story. It's the story of God who created the universe and how mankind, part of the creation, fell into sin. And it's the story of how God provided redemption through the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So of all the good books in the world, none outsell God's book, the Bible. And of all the good books you can read, wouldn't it be wise to read the one written by the one who made you? Wouldn't reading the book written by the creator of the universe be so much more productive than simply reading books written by his creatures? For best results, follow the instructions of the manufacturer. Let's be wise enough to listen to the wisdom of the one who made us. He has the words of eternal life. Everyday believers have the opportunity to do all of these things with God's word. We can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." Reading 3 chapters in the Bible every day will bless your life a lot. How? The steps you take and the decisions you make in life can have more certainty, just like Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Here are 11 excellent ways God's word will light your path in life as you develop the habit of reading the Word of God every single day. First, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. Number two, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. A third reason as to why we're wise to read the Word daily, it empowers your prayer life. Number four, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. Now, next, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. Then, it helps you maintain your mental health. Next, it increases God's anointing on every area of your life. Then next, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life. And then finally, it enhances your intellect and your personality. It can literally increase your IQ. And it literally pours grace, peace, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. And then lastly, by direct statement or in principle, God's word gives you guidance and or direction about every issue or topic in all of life. See Psalm 119, verse 105. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 says it so clearly by saying, "All scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And the greatest work done by Jesus and shared by the Bible is the work that leads to salvation. If you'd like to know Jesus Christ personally, would like to invite him into your heart, pray. You can pray this or a similar prayer in order to make that step. If you're listening now and you'd like to make that step simply from your heart, would you pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I recognize that I've sinned and done wrong. I repent of the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. I do believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die on the cross to pay for all my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to be the person you would have me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I now declare I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, the title of this article, What If God Wrote a Book? If you'd like to get a copy of it, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We would appreciate the opportunity to be able to share it with you. Thank you, Lord, again, for the opportunity that we have of being able to open your word and spend time with you every single day. Lord, thank you for the eternal wisdom, the grace, the understanding that's found in your word. Thank you for how that as we read your word, you're touching our lives, you're blessing our lives, you're pouring grace and light and peace into our lives. Thank you for the privilege and the gift it is for us to be able to read your word every day. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Again, the title of that article, What If God Wrote a Book? Email us if you'd like to get a copy of it. We'll be right back. The music of Brian and Katie Torwalt, When You Walk Into the Room. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking at the topic, what if God wrote a book, as well as sharing about our Ten Commandments stage play entitled Rev Riding in the Hood. Again, if you're wanting more information, email us. We'll be glad to share more information with you about the play. And if you're wanting to help us with this important mission and effort behind this play, it covers the Ten Commandments. It's also a pro-life instrument and tool as well. If you'd like to email me for more information, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that information to you. And again, if you would like to get a copy, a DVD copy of the play, Rev Riding in the Hood, email us and let us know that. And we're asking that for a suggested donation of $12, which would include shipping and handling, we can get that to you. So just, again, get in touch with me. Again, joseph@afr.net. We'd look forward to hearing from you. Picking up now in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we read verses 1 to 12. We're going to pick up now at verse 13, continuing in Hebrews chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Again, Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you again, Father, for your word. More and more help us to grow an understanding of the critical place time, reading, and meditating on your word needs to have in our lives. and more and more empower us to be the diligent students of your word you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. This time I want to share an additional article entitled Redeeming the Time with Our Children. Again, the article's titled Redeeming the Time with Our Children. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Again, reading that again. See then that you walk circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Then Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, Proverbs 22, 6. Then Isaiah 54, verse 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Then Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Again, Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Then Psalm 127, verse 3. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Psalm 127, verse 3. Then Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. In Matthew 19, 14. Let the children come to me, Christ said in Matthew 19, verse 14. Our Lord Jesus took time with children and blessed them in his earthly ministry. We are wise to be sure and do the same. Our children, once they arrive on the scene, immediately begin to grow and grow fast. They're born into this world, and oh, how time flies. A few days after they're born, you blink your eyes and they're graduating from high school. How time flies. We as parents have our children for a few days and then they grow up and are gone. So we are wise as parents and ministers that work with children to make the most of our time with them. In other words, we must redeem the time. We must use the time we have with them very wisely. Psalm 90 verse 12 tells us, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Again, Psalm 90, verse 12. Yes, we need to redeem the time with our children. Yet a critical question is, how do we do that? What are the things we can do to redeem the time with our children while they're growing up in our homes? The following are a few discipleship projects or goals to pursue in the midst of discipling our children. They're tasks that can encourage spiritual growth and maturity in our children's faith. In other words, these are things we can do with our children to help us to redeem the time with them. Number one, have each of your children read 3 chapters from the Bible aloud to you every single day. If you're a grandparent, you could have your grandchild to read 3 chapters aloud to you daily by phone if you need to do it that way. Coming up with a way to reward them so that they will be further motivated to read can often be a very wise approach on the part of parents and or grandparents. Number two, pray daily with your children. Pray the Lord's Prayer with them every day. Pray the 10 Commandments with them every day. And pray Psalm 91 with them every single day. Reward them to memorize each of these prayers and allow them to lead them often. A third goal, pray the prayer of Jabez and the prayer of Isaiah with your children every single day. Number four, assign them mission tasks every day. Some possible mission tasks could include calling granddad or grandmom or an elderly person in the church or in the community and read a chapter from the Word of God out loud to them over the phone. Call them and pray for them. Go to the store and give out gospel tracts. Give your child cash incentives to read a book about a missionary. Pray daily with your children for ministries and missionaries. Number six, have each of the children memorize the 10 Commandments and recite them out loud to you. Number seven, discuss the meaning of one of the 10 Commandments and talk with your children about how the Christian is to live them out in their lives. Number eight, have Bible quizzes with your children. Figure out a way to give prizes for correct answers. Number nine, give your children incentives to memorize passages of Scripture and recite them to you out loud. And number 10, reward them for reading the whole book of Jonah out loud to you, or the book of Ruth, or the book of Mark, or the book of Philippians, etc. These are just a few ideas. You probably could quickly come up with a much longer list. A key goal for us as parents, grandparents, Christian leaders who work with youth, etc., is to make planting the Word of God into the hearts and minds of our children a high priority. For time reasons, we'll end there. But again, if you'd like to get a copy of this article, the title, again, of the article, Redeeming the Time with Our Children, simply email me, joseph@afr.net, and we'll be glad to get the article to you. Again, the article titled, Redeeming the Time with Our Children. And as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the very, very important decision of inviting Jesus Christ into your heart to become the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day to make that decision. If you want to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong. I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We would like to share with you some literature and resources that will help you to grow up and grow strong in your new walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please email us and let us know you've made that step and allow us to share with you some of these resources. Again, the email, joseph@afr.net. We certainly hope that we will hear from you. And once again, if you wanted to get a copy of the articles that we shared today, again, the titles of the articles, What If God Wrote a Book, the first article, and the second article, Redeeming the Time with Our Children, same email, joseph@afr.net. Let us know you'd like one or both of the articles. We're glad to share them with you. We hope to hear from you again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.